Good morning and welcome to Community Conversations. We were missing the morning show and we think many of you were too. This is not a replacement, but it is what we're doing at this time of COVID to bring local voices to light for our listeners. These are recorded interviews lasting about 30 to 40 minutes right here on KRFY 88.5 FM. We broadcast them on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. We are recording this show, and so please do check any details that are in it for their accuracy as you hear it. This is not a replacement for the morning show, but we do continue, we want to continue to bring timely topics to our community. We are using new technology, Zoom, at least new to some of our participants. And so if you hear glips in the conversations due to an internet fade in, fade out, just bear with us. Today, I'm one of your hosts, Phil Huff, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Julie. Welcome back, Julie.
Yes, I'm returned, Phil. Hello, and I'm glad to be back.
Was the fishing good? I assume you went fishing.
I did go fishing. I went fishing with my hubby, friends, and my brother from Minneapolis, who was able to leave Minneapolis at a relatively opportune time, I would say. And the fishing was so-so, but the weather was beautiful. Well, so happy to be back.
Always better. A day out in the boat's always better than at work.
So true.
So let's launch into our guests today. Today is our annual summer camp show, and we're delighted to be joined by a couple of longtime morning show participants. We have Cami Murray, the Outreach and Development Coordinator for Kinnexu Land Trust. Good morning, Cami.
Good morning.
And along with us, we have also Tim Kokoran, co-founder and co-director of the Twin Eagles Wilderness School. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Phil. Great to be here.
Yeah. So before we launch into the topic of the day, which is summer camps, let's let the listeners get to know a little bit more about each of you. So why don't we start, Cami, with you. Tell us a little bit about your role at Kinnexu Land Trust, how you came to be there, and what your passion is around all of this work.
Thanks, Phil. So I started with Kinnexu Land Trust about 3.5 years ago, sort of just supporting the, what we were at the time calling the Park RX program, which encouraged health through time spent outdoors. And over that intervening couple years, my role's really morphed. I wear a lot of hats in our office, including outreach and communications, development, fundraising, and sort of anything else that needs to get taken care of. One of those roles is sort of the logistics behind the scenes wizard for our summer camp, Camp Kinnexu. So I manage registration and scholarships. I get our t-shirts going and I make sure that we have food. And so that's kind of my role. And I'm just really passionate about the outdoors. I'm a local girl. I grew up here in Sandpoint and spent a lot of time skiing, hiking on the lake growing up. And I'm super passionate about getting our kids out to experience those same things. Those were so formative for me. And I really want to make sure that every single child in our community has an opportunity to experience that same joy of being in nature, because it is so crucial to being a healthy, well-adjusted human.
What a great attitude and what a way to describe yourself, Cami. And I noticed you're wearing a t-shirt, so tell us about that for listeners who can't see you.
So I'm wearing our brand new Camp Kinnexu shirt. It features sort of a similar design to our past shirts, which you may have seen. It's got a compass on it. We actually use that for the kids to help orient themselves as they're learning their directions on the property. Okay, look at your shirt. All right, that's the direction. And then it's got an otter on it, which is in honor of our education director, whose nature name is Cheerful Otter.
So cool.
They're pretty cool shirts.
Good way to learn about you and see you via Zoom. Tim, tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be at Twin Eagles.
Sure. So, my wife, Janine Tidwell, and I founded the school in 2005. So that's what, 15 years now. And at this point, we're still a smaller family-run business. My wife and I still, to this day, 15 years later, are co-directors for the school. We exist really to help support this vision of reconnecting the human beings back to the natural world and support, all of the benefits that come with that, from body, mind, heart, spirit, the full gamut. And, this is a big part of my deep calling in life. It's deep, spiritually fulfilling work for me to connect people with nature. We do youth programs as well as adult programs year round. And absolutely committed to reconnecting people here in the Inland Northwest back to the natural world.
It's always nice to hear entrepreneurs who have a vision and act them. Tell us just a little bit more about the epiphany, the moment of insight that led you and Janine to enter into this.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, so I'm 46. I just little background. I grew up in the 80s, right? Back then, what was it? We had like three channels on TV and there was maybe like one good show a week on. Other than that, we ran wild in the neighborhood woods. And you know, things have really changed since then, right? I'm sure you two can relate. We live in a world where that's not the case anymore. And so for me, when I was in 20 years ago, when I was in my early mid 20s, you know, I'd always had a real draw, and I'm not even sure why, but I've always had a real draw towards indigenous cultures, toward and Native Americans in particular. So after college, I actually went out and had a friend living on the Navajo Indian Reservation in Arizona and moved out there just to be with the people and experience a different way of life. You know, I had somewhere in me, I knew that indigenous cultures had some wisdom that I really believed we as modern Americans could really learn from. That sent me on a long path, and I got involved in other wilderness schools that were started at the time and had the honor of working with a number of traditional Native American teachers and elders, and got involved in some old ceremonies, including the Vision Quest, you know, which is the classic experience of fasting and praying in the wilderness for 4 days and four nights. And during that time, you know, life came alive for me in a deep, deep way, and I was able to reflect and see that my best moments of renewal, my biggest moments of renewal always happened, consistently happened when I was out there connecting deeply with the natural world and through the power of mentoring, right? That it wasn't enough to just be out there, but that when I had mentors who they themselves had formed a deep connection with nature, who could guide me into a deeper connection to the natural world outside of me as well as my own inner nature, that's when I was most fully alive. And so that was deeply transformational for me, impacted me in really significant ways. And I really saw at that time, you know, this is what I want to dedicate my life to, is to reconnecting people back to the natural world so that their best selves can come forward. And that maybe that will be my contribution to bettering our world.
And so how does that segue into your work at Twin Eagles? Did part of that experience shape the mission of the Wilderness School?
Yeah, absolutely. So we spent my wife and I spent 5 years in a traditional apprenticeship studying with a wilderness school in Vermont, as well as a handful of Native elders that were connected with that organization. And after really giving that everything we had, that was like a master's level training, right? We set out and we knew we wanted to start a wilderness school. I knew we wanted to be out west, but we weren't quite sure where. So we had a big epic adventure. This was summer of, I think, 2004, visiting all the little towns out west. We knew we wanted to be in a small town out west. And Janine actually grew up and was born in Idaho. And so, you know, that was... we had an inkling that there might be something here, but I remember coming across the Long Bridge and yeah, it was like a late September afternoon in 2004 and the storm had just blown through. The sun was beginning to go down and this big rainbow appears, right? With the end right on the town of Sandpoint. So the angels sang in that moment, right? We knew we had come home this is where we started the school. That was 2005. We started really small. We just had a little program for homeschooled kids running one day a week. And that first summer, I think we had, I don't know, seven kids in our one summer camp, right? But we've steadily grown ever since. And now, 15 years later, we serve, I don't know, close to 300 individuals a year. But the numbers are less important. And I know environmental ed organizations oftentimes tout numbers, and that's good, you know, to look at that. But I think what's more important is how deeply we're reaching people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather reach a smaller number of people in a deep way than superficially reach a larger number. So that's a big part of our commitment is those mentoring relationships.
Well said. And we want to get to the summer camps, but I also feel like we should step back towards Kinnexu Land Trust and talk more about KLT's genesis story. I know, Cami, you can share that and a bit about how it came to be about its vision and where it's evolved too, because KLT has really evolved over the last 15 years as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so KLT was founded in 2002, so we're coming up on 20 years. And originally we were sort of the environmental mitigation arm of the Avista settlement, which helped protect bull trout habitat on the Bull River as part of Avista's dams. You know, federally they have to mitigate the impact they're having on fisheries. So KLT came into being to help protect those bull trout habitats. And over the last 17 years, we've really grown to a full service land trust. We protect not only, continue to protect bull trout habitat, but we also protect working farms, ranches, timberlands, scenic views, and places to play outside. So that's sort of been our growth. We really recognized about 5 years ago now that simply protecting land really isn't enough. We have to come up with ways to connect people back to the land so that they understand the value of conserving it. So that was when we really reached out into what we call community conservation, which really focuses on communication and outreach, outdoor recreation and education to connect people back to the land, like Tim was saying, and really show people the value of the beauty that we have all around us. And that led to our education work, which happens in school and out of school. So we have classroom experiences that happen at most of our local elementary schools, as well as working as part of the outdoor track at Clark Fork Junior Senior High School. And so we serve about 3,000 kids a year through our in-school and out-of-school education programs, which include not only Camp Kinnick-Sue, but also Wildcrafting, which is our after-school program that focuses on traditional crafts and handiwork and connecting with nature, which is really hard to do in activities. And then, yeah, Camp Kinnick-Sue is sort of our signature piece that, again, yeah, focuses on nature connection, exploring the world around you. And then we're really excited now that we have Pine Street Woods, we're really going to be able to open up our adult education piece. Pine Street Woods, for those people who don't know, is our 160 acres off of West Pine Street that's got trails. It's got a recreation center that has cross-country ski and snowshoe rentals during the winter time, and we're working on new trails this summer. So if you get a little lost up there, it's because we're building new trails, and so we don't have great signage yet. But it's been really amazing. I was actually just up there taking a run, and there were mountain bikers and walkers and people with their dogs, and it just makes me really happy to see how much our community's embraced that place to go play outside.
It's really something, Kinnick-Sue Land Trust, to have been able to combine your mission of conserving and protecting land through purchase or easements with this education arm, and then along with a preserved area, Pine Street Woods, that's open to the public and the folks of Sandpoint. It's really kind of all coming together for Kinnick-Sue Land Trust, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, it's really fortuitous how it all works the way it needs to.
So it's
wonderful.
Great
to, well,
it's great to get the background on all your organization's work and stuff. And we want to get to summer camps, but I think before we can talk about summer camps this year, we need to deal with the COVID elephant in the room, so to speak. How has the pandemic impacted both your organizations and operations? And since Cami, you were just speaking, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, so we've been really fortunate in that because so much of our work happens outside or in our very small office, that we've been able to continue working pretty normally. We spent a couple months all working from home, which was definitely an adventure and an adjustment. But fortunately, our conservation work has continued because a lot of that can happen over the phone, via email, on site visits where we can be 6 feet apart. And then as we started to look forward, you know, we have had to cancel some of our events that we'd planned for the spring and the summer, which is always a big bummer. Our big one was sort of the week before we all went on lockdown. We were planning to have a gathering to talk about otters at the Panada Little Theater that we canceled the morning of the event because we couldn't risk putting, you know, 75 people in a small space for, you know, an hour for a presentation. So it's definitely been an adjustment to figure out how to do my work specifically. Outreach and communications are really different in this time. So I kind of let my life just go the way the river's taking me and communicate as feels appropriate at the time. It's definitely been interesting, but we do all feel very fortunate to be able to let our work continue pretty normally, with the exception of being at home and having our staff meetings on Zoom instead of in person.
Sure. And Tim, how about your organization? How is Twin Eagles managing during COVID?
Yeah, so pretty similar to you, Cammie. It was mid-March when things really started coming down heavy. So we canceled a few programs. I think we had a spring break camp that we canceled, and then we rescheduled a few programs that were scheduled for April, May. I had a father-son wilderness program that I run every year. I postponed that to the fall. But there wasn't much, right? Usually we're pretty busy in the springtime. This year was a little bit of a fluke, and we just didn't have that many programs scheduled. So that was fortuitous. We do have a monthly program for kids where we meet once a month, and we actually rescheduled that on Zoom. So for the first time, we adapted it and created a Zoom-based program where we'd meet with the kids for like an hour on Zoom in the morning, send them off on a big adventure, and then come back to Zoom in the afternoon. Really cool story was I'm a father as well. I've got two sons, and they're both in our programs, and we live up by MacArthur Lake. And so for the adventure time there, we went out to go exploring. And that day, for the first time ever, I've been doing this work a long time, for the first time ever, we found an active coyote den, right? And I peeked in there, and out of the darkness, this little two little beady eyes come out and looking at me. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a coyote pup, it's a coyote pup. So we watch it crawl out the back doorway. We come back that night, set up a trail cam, come back 2 weeks later and caught video footage of the mom coming in and actually coming out of the den, followed by, if you can believe this, 10 coyote pups, the cutest little things, you know, with the big heads. And they're still kind of learning how to walk, and they're walking all funny. It was the cutest thing. But we took that as a real sign, a real synchronicity that, you know, hey, we can still do this work and connect people to nature, even over Zoom. So we did that for a couple of months. And then, you know, and then of course there was the big question mark, gosh, are summer camps going to run? Are they not? But with Idaho moving on to phase 3, we're positioned well here. So yeah, we had we've been doing plenty of Zoom meetings as well with staff, but overall the impact has been pretty low given that we didn't have that many programs that this spring, and that we're able to pull off summer camps this year. Yeah.
That's a great segue with Idaho opening up, and we're here to talk about your summer camp offerings. Both Twin Eagles and KLT are moving forward with summer camps. So tell us about what's happening, what your summer camps look like, and let's dive into a little bit more of a description of it. And again, Tim, since you're online, let's tee you up.
Sure. Well, so we run a day and overnight camps here in Sandpoint, as well as Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. So we're active throughout the Inland Northwest. That provides some level of complication for us because we've got two different state criteria that we're working with. With Sandpoint, our camps have actually begun. We've got kids just finished up a few minutes ago, actually, as of the time of this recording. So we did start our first camp. We run our camps down at Camp Stidwell off Mirror Lake down in Sagal. And for the most part, you know, we're able to pull it off. We definitely have some changes. Our staff, we made the decision that all staff are required to wear masks. That's above and beyond Idaho state criteria, but we felt like that was a responsible thing to do. We're recommending kids wear masks, but we're not requiring it. We're definitely practicing distancing, and so we're choosing activities where kids can be more spread out, and we're selecting games that don't involve so much touching. And, you know, 3 days, 4 days into this, things have gotten off to a good start. People are working together in a really good way. People are understanding. And it's different, you know, but we're able to still get out there and make the connection. With our Spokane camps, it's another question. They haven't moved on to phase 3 yet, so we're still questioning, gosh, are they even going to run or not? We anticipate they will. And we've got those scheduled for latter part of this month. The other thing I'll mention has been our enrollment, you know, is an interesting thing to look at, because typically we're enrolling for summer camps starting in January, February, and we have a nice steady enrollment all the way through June, July. So this year, as soon as COVID hit, you know, mid-March, enrollment tanked, and we had like two enrollments over a six-week period. And then once we got to early May, I think all the parents and especially the moms were like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with my kids this summer? And so enrollment just skyrocketed for us. And our numbers now, we're actually better than they were last year at this time, which is totally shocking to me. But that was, it's been an interesting ride for sure on that front.
It sounds like it. Well, I have a comment and then a question. The comment is that I'm not surprised your enrollment isn't skyrocketing. Phil will remember last year we did summer camp KRFY morning shows, and we had so many camps that we had to do 2 weeks of camps. And as Phil checked into doing summer camps for this year, it was very difficult to find anyone who was open. We were lucky to have you all. So comment there. And then the question is, what about your curriculum? Has that had to change quite a bit, or are you just modifying?
Yeah, so not significantly. No, we've really just modified. I mean, one of the things, and Cammie, you were mentioning this earlier, is that because we run our programs, we're 100% outdoors. That's our commitment. So rain or shine, year round, snow, you know, sun, what have you, we're 100% outdoors. We have a saying that there's no such thing as bad weather, only inappropriate clothing, right? So we have made some small changes. Like I said, we're selecting activities that involve less touching, but for the most part, we're finding that, you know, we can adapt, we can make these changes and stick to most of our normal curriculum. It's not quite the same experience, you know. I mean, we run into issues like if I'm telling a story, you know, and I've got a mask on my face, people lose body language and facial subtleties and that kind of thing. But we're finding our way with it. We're making it work.
And Stidwell is a great facility, but I'm wondering too, because they have several covered pavilions, which might help with the rain, but then they have a wilderness area. Are the kids off in the wilderness area, or are they in the pavilions, or is it a mix?
Mostly out in the wilderness area. Yeah, absolutely. We've been there for, I don't know, 3-4 years. And, you know, that's a big part of it is of our mentoring approach, Phil, is crafting activities that really engage the kids' curiosity and the kids' natural passions, that really get them excited, right? That's always the question, is like, how do we make this so exciting for the kids? They just can't wait for the next activity. And it's that excitement that really draws them in to, you know, being able to handle the weather if it's raining or if it's a little cold or whatnot, and builds up that resiliency.
Sure. I've got a break in here. Bear with us, listeners, for our technology. An example of a day in the life at Camp Twin Eagle. I don't know enough about you to know exactly what kinds of programs are happening, and maybe for kids of a couple of age groups.
Sure. Absolutely, Julie. So with our day camps, we have themes, right? So our three big ones are either nature adventurers, wilderness survival, or nature ninjas. And these are, you know, labels, and it's a way of framing the camp that draws kiddos in. But yeah, a day in the life, we'll come together, you know, our camp size is about, we max out at about 25 kids per camp. So we'll come together in the morning, start off with a big morning circle where staff and the campers are all together. We'll do some movement inspired by the natural world. So maybe imitating animal movement. We'll sing songs, nature-based songs, give thanks. We always, that's one of our routines, is starting off with gratitude, which is a traditional teaching passed on to us from Indigenous elders. And then it's the inspiration for the day. And so after about an hour together, we'll sit down, do snack time. And then we're diving into the body of the day. Maybe the activity might be working on friction fire, where we're learning how to spin wood together with the bow drill or the hand drill to make fire by friction. Or maybe it's learning edible plants, maybe medicinal plants. Maybe it's learning camouflage. and how to become invisible in the world, or maybe learning the language of the birds, understanding what the birds are actually saying and how it's a big complex alarm system that is informing you at any given point of all the various predators and other creatures in the natural world, giving you a window into that. And again, through it all, it's really, that's the what we do, but just as important as the what is the how. And so we really pride ourselves in our instructors who really care about kids, who can really show up with big hearts, who themselves have made a strong connection with the natural world and really, you know, put their time in to really learn these skills. It's these skills we teach are, you know, it's an advanced pathway of connecting with nature that takes time. And it's, these are skills that most adults these days don't actually have. People don't know how to track wild animals or make fire by friction. These aren't commonly known skills. And so it takes some time. But yeah, after, we'll get into lunch after the main block, have some free time in the afternoon. And then we always wrap up our day with a big story time where we come back together as a big group and share maybe a traditional story or maybe a personal story of an adventure in the natural world.
Sounds great. And I'm sure there's listeners right now going, how do I get my kids enrolled? Where do folks go to for more information on how to sign up?
Yeah, so we're online at www.twineagles.org. So it's TWINEAGLES.org.
Thank you. Cammie, tough act to follow, but I know you're up to the task. So dive into some details about Kiniksu Land Trust's summer camps.
Yeah, so we're actually pretty similar to a lot of what Tim does. We play outside, and that's really sort of the key thing that Dave likes to say, is that it's about sort of finding the joy in outdoor play, and that learning happens through that play, but that, you know, really that's the key piece, is playing and enjoying and finding special places. So that's one of sort of our hallmarks, is each on the first day of camp, for each camper, Dave asks them to find a special place, and that's their time, their special place that they go to for a little bit each day, and they sit and they, you know, listen to the sounds of nature around them. Because we do offer three different age groups, each of our age groups has more sort of age-appropriate activities that they do. So we have our littles, our 6 to 9-year-olds, and they're sort of learning the basics, and they spend a lot of time playing nature games, tracking games, games where you listen, games where you look. I get to help with our winter programs. And so we play a lot of the same games in the snow, which makes tracking games a lot easier. So our littles spend a lot of time playing, and then they do also learn friction fire, and they do art through natural camouflage, and they do a lot of fort building. And then our middles, our 9 to 12s, start to create nature journals, and they do more tracking of what they're seeing, what they're learning. We have some really amazing herbalists as part of our staff this summer. So those sessions that they're working, they're going to do a lot of focus on medicinal and edible plants. And then this year, for the first time, we have 12 to 14-year-olds in 1 week. And so they're really going to dive deep on more of the biology and the real science of what happens in nature. And they're going to do more tool making with both bone and antler, and some hide tanning. I know actually our first week, Dave was just telling me that they've got some big deer hides, and so they're going to do some painting on deer hide. They're going to stretch deer hides between trees and do some painting. So each session is really a little different. They have similar structure, but we have different staff each week. And so depending on who our staff person is assisting Dave, they do a little bit more focus on whatever that person's particular skills are. So this first week we have Sean Deller, who's the woodworking teacher at the Waldorf School, and he's an incredible traditional craftsman. So they're going to focus more on traditional crafts and handiwork for the first session. And then it will just sort of, it flows with the counselors that we have. And you know, the best part for us is I don't stay at camp during the day. I make things happen behind the scenes, but I get feedback from a lot of the parents. And so for me, the thing that just makes me so grateful for my work is hearing the feedback from parents who say, you know, my kids weren't really sure the first day. It was new. It was scary. And by the end of the week, they're in tears because it's the end of their experience with Dave. You know, having moms telling me that their kids are never as excited about any other program. This is their favorite thing to do, the one that they love the most, the one that they can't wait for. And then the thing I always really love about the kids' special places, especially now that we have Pine Street Woods, is that these special places that they find, they're going to be able to come back to for the rest of their life. And they're going to be able to bring their kids and their grandkids someday and show them their special places. And that, to me, as someone who has some of my own favorite special places in the woods, is really incredible. And it's such a gift to be able to give kids at, you know, starting at age 6, the opportunity to find places in the woods they love.
What a nice way to talk about camp, Cammie. And it sounds like the programs are very well oriented to the age groups. And I do have a question, though, for your littles. Have you had concern from parents about keeping those littles from being too close together, too much touching, that sort of thing during our time of social distancing?
So, you know, we have had some concerns, and I'm addressing those with parents sort of on a case-by-case basis. But the other thing that we know, you know, science is that warm weather and sunshine are great ways to kill the coronavirus. So we're going to be focusing on staying in more of our sunny areas as opposed to some of our shaded areas. I know Dave is really praying hard to all the weather gods there are for sunshine and good weather, because it's going to be a lot more difficult if we do have not as opportune weather. And you know, we are asking parents to do wellness checks each morning. So that's another big key health piece for us, is asking parents to take temperature, to monitor kids for signs of illness, and letting them know that if our counselors see signs of illness, we will be calling you and you have to take your kids home, because that is certainly a risk. So that's sort of how we're addressing it, is just being aware and watching for symptoms.
So we're hearing a lot of good safety precautions from both of you about how you're addressing potential threats. And it sounds like you've given the matter a great deal of thought. And yet here we are, I've got to ask, of the 8-9 camps we interviewed last summer, we're down to 2. And others either weren't able to wrap their heads around it or were more reluctant, or we could speculate. But what we can speak to is what it was that provided both of you the confidence to move forward with being able to do a program. Of course, not ever knowing what the future might hold in terms of change. But why don't we start again, since Cammie, you've been speaking a little bit about the thinking that went into, yes, we will do a summer camp.
Mm-hmm. So a big piece for us was the commitment that we have to our work and to connecting kids to nature. And we felt like it would really do a disservice to our community not to offer this opportunity. And then as we started to see what guidelines were going to look like, we started to really read what the CDC was recommending, what the state of Idaho is recommending. We really realized that most of our practices fit within those guidelines already. And so for us, that was what really made us feel confident, was saying, hey, we don't have to make that many modifications to what we already do for this to be safe and for this to be following, you know, what science is telling us is okay. And so we did have some discussions in our office about, you know, what we were comfortable with, what we felt our parents were going to be comfortable with. We did, you know, for the first time, we came up with a cancellation policy. It's not something we've had to worry about. And so for us, it was one of those things where we said, you know, we got to talk about this. We got to figure out what this looks like, and being willing to be flexible with our parents who, you know, might be fearful and wanting to be empathetic for that. But really, we've had overwhelming responses that people are just so grateful to have a place to take their kids to play outside, to get a week of respite from being parents 24/7, which is new for some families. And so, you know, we really felt like we had an obligation to support the community in a way that we felt like we could do safely.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing a great job of it, Cammie. And where better to socially distance the best way you can with children than the great outdoors? Tim, what were your thoughts when you made the decision to go forward with your summer program?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the first things was I found a study that looked at the cases of when the coronavirus was actually passed on. It was something like 0.03%. happened when individuals were outside. It was like 99.7% of the time when they actually studied it, when coronavirus got passed on, was indoors, which of course makes sense, right? Because all those respiratory droplets are caught in there and over time. So that was really, I mean, that was one big one. But of course, we were following, we wanted to, you know, be upfront and above board with everything, of course, and as we're a professional organization. So we followed state guidelines, CDC, and you know, this, of course, this is such an unknown. There were so many questions, and I think we're still learning about this, right? But at the end of the day, we realized, okay, the state's giving us the thumbs up. We're able to be in 100% outdoors environment where the risk is actually quite low of passing it on. And we're going to go above and beyond the state criteria. That was another thing you had mentioned that, Cammie. We're doing that as well. We're actually checking temperatures of each child in the morning and to make sure that they're, you know, that they're symptom free. And we're asking them about those symptoms each day. Yeah. So at the end of the day, we realized that this is such important work. When people come and connect with nature, as I'm sure you folks experience over at Kiniksu, Cammie, they connect with the deepest part of themselves. It's the studies have shown it's good for bodies, minds, hearts, spirits. We know that our this is good for us, and it's good for the health of our community. We as well have had overwhelming positive response from families. We're playing it really conservative, honestly, in terms of our practices to make sure we're being extra safe, but we're able to do that in a way that's working, and that's really serving community and serving the kids. So yeah, at the end of the day, it felt like this is what we do. We're committed to this work, and we can do this in a safe way moving forward. So we are.
Very good. It's lucky that we have the two of you for camps this year. A question that came to mind for me was about the future of day and overnight camps in our community, the region, all over. From what you've both mentioned, it sounds like your camps maybe won't need to change that much because they are outdoor camps and you're following protocols that are somewhat different from what you might normally do but aren't changing your camps much. But what about it? How do you both see the future of camps with a situation as we're experiencing with COVID?
Well, in terms of the need for the work that both of our organizations do, I think we would probably all agree that the need is only going to increase, right, in our world today. Kids are more tied in with smartphones and technology, et cetera, et cetera. So the need is there. Then the question becomes, how do we adapt? You know, back to that story of the coyote den we found, coyote is known as the great changer, the great adapter. Coyote medicine is that of resiliency and adapting. And so how can we model ourselves as humans after some of these qualities that we find there in the natural world? How can we adapt? I don't know what the future is going to hold any more than you or anyone else, but I know what my commitment is. I know that I'm here to serve the future generations. And I'm, if at all possible, we're going to keep running camps outside. And if we can't, we would adapt and create something on Zoom online, much less engaging for sure, and definitely not my preference to do, especially with kiddos, to bring it online. But if we have to, I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, we found that we were able to do that and still facilitate quality experiences. So.
I think that would be really a shame if things had to go to Zoom. It doesn't sound like they will. Cammie, how about you? How do you see the future for Kiniksu and maybe camps in general?
Yeah, you know, I think we are fortunate that we've come up with a model that works, and we're you know, we played with some online content as well during the throes of it. You know, we put out some fun videos of activities, and we also came up with what we called the Kiniksu Adventure Race. So up at Pine Street Woods, we've got kind of a scavenger hunt type, we call it an adventure race. So yeah, you sort of get to explore the property and do some, answer some questions, do some activities. So, I mean, we're committed to being innovative in how we move through this and making sure that we continue to encourage people to get outside in whatever's the way that's the safest for them, whether that's exploring stars and bugs in your backyard or doing a solo adventure up at Pine Street Woods, or doing camps. I know that from my personal experience in experiencing camps all throughout the Inland Northwest, I did camps in the San Juans and, you know, at Western Pleasures. I certainly hope that people feel safe enough to come up with a way to make those work, because those experiences for kids getting away from families, exploring nature, meeting new social groups. It's so important. And I really worry that if we don't continue to innovate and come up with ways to make things safe and to feel safe, that we're going to lose a lot of what's important to us about being humans. That's really, I can't exist in a solely digital world. I love my connections. I love my glasses of wine with my friends at the winery and being outside and taking runs. So I certainly hope we can come up with ways to make it work.
Well said. And it's even, it's hard to know what the future will bring. And it's even harder to know what an online camp looks like for a wilderness experience or a day in the Pine Street woods. I'm sure it's possible to dream something in that is of value and substance, but it's hardly the same thing as being out in nature. So let's hope that we all figure out a way to move forward. While we're figuring out ways to move forward, it's a good segue. We're running a little short on time. We've got maybe another 10 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about other activities and things that are going on for each of your organizations as we roll forward after this time in which we're opening up and you're doing summer camps. What else does the summer and fall hold, say, Cami, for Kiniksu Land Trust? You mentioned the virtual race.
So yeah, we're still looking at what that's going to look like. I'm hoping that we'll be able to share some details here in the next week or so. But what we do have happening next week, actually, is KLT just went through a pretty extensive brand redesign. So we've got a new logo. And so we're going to release that, unveil that next Thursday. There's going to be some opportunities to check that out, to pick up our annual report, to say hi to members of our board and staff at four different locations in town. So Pondere Winery, Utara, Matchwood, and IPA are all going to have members of the KLT team hanging out between 4 and 7. We're going to have our annual report, which is hot off the presses. We're going to have some new stickers. And then we actually have limited edition growlers and wine bottles that are going to be available for sale. They come with a fill and a small donation to KLT. So now that we're allowed to, sort of begin to see each other again, we thought this would be a great opportunity to not only show off our new look, but also to get out and support local businesses, which we know are so important. And we thought these are all organizations, they're all businesses that are clean water. They need clean water to make good beer and wine. And so that's a big part of our mission. We felt like we had good synergy happening there. So Thursday the 18th between 4 and 7 at four locations, the winery, Utara, Matchwood, and IPA. You can come out and say hi to KLT and see our new look.
Very good. Tim, tell us about the future, summer, fall, where things are going for Twin Eagles beyond the summer camp.
Sure. Yeah. So after the summer camps definitely will take up all of our focus for the coming few months, all the way through mid-August. As I said, we've got day camps, Sandpoint, Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, and then overnight camps up in the Priest River area. We always take a break at the end of our busy summer camp season and then start things back up in September. And so we're going to have a father-son wilderness program that I lead every year. My wife, Janine, runs a mother-daughter program as well. We'll be doing boys and for years we've been running boys and girls rites of passage, which are like formal community-based acknowledgments of leaving childhood behind, stepping into becoming a young adult. Really deep, powerful, beautiful work. Then it's into the winter months. So we'll have a variety of adult workshops. Once we hit into next year, we've got a winter break camp that we do over winter break and then a spring break camp. So, yeah, lots of different opportunities to stay connected.
Well, that's great. You both sound like you have plenty going on and you're going to be up and rolling in a nearly normal way relatively soon. As we come to the end of the program, any closing thoughts and maybe share with us your contact information one final time. Why don't you go ahead and begin, Tim?
Sure. Well, just starting with a big thank you, Julie, Phil, and Cami. Great to connect here. And what a nice opportunity to come together around the restorative power of nature. Again, I think we're living in a time with, oh my gosh, with everything going on with coronavirus, with the protests happening. It's probably overused, but these are unprecedented times, right? And what better way to handle these than to come back to nature and to come back to our true self, our essence, our own nature. that's, I know for me, when I get restored and reconnected to my best self and how I can show up best in the world. And consistently we find that that's what happens to others when they join us. So yeah, just putting that plug in for forging those deep mentoring relationships with the natural world. And again, if folks are interested in our organization, check us out online. We're at www.twineagles.org.
Very good. Thank you, Tim. And Cammie, same thing, some wrapping up, closing thoughts, and contact information.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. It was great to chat. And, you know, I'm with Tim. Nature is my happy place. It's my my restorative place. I always joke with my family that I've never had a bad day outside and that I worship at the Church of the Mountains. So I'm a big believer in, you know, we're all working through anxiety. We're working through stress. When you feel like you can't take another second in your house, go stand outside. And even just standing outside is going to make you feel better. If you can take a walk around the block, that's great. If you can go up to Pine Street Woods or Sand Creek Trail or the Bay Trail or Gold Hill or Mickinac, we have so many local trails that are a great place to go. Take a minute and take some deep breaths and really enjoy the amazing world we have around us. So many people don't get to experience this. So that's my 10 cents. And then if you want to reach out to us, we're online at kinixulandtrust.org. And you can send us an email at info@kinixu, and that's K-A-N-I-K-S-U. Native American words are fun. Kinixu.org. So yeah, feel free to reach out. We always love talking to our community about what we can do to support what you need right now.
Thank you, Cammie. And everyone should go find their own special place. Just don't find my special place. But.
Well, with that, I would like to thank Cammie Murray, Outreach and Development Coordinator for the Kinixu Land Trust, and Tim Corcoran, the co-founder and co-director of Twin Eagles Wilderness School. You both shared great information with us here this morning. Thank you. For those who joined midway through our program, you've been listening to KRFY Community Conversations, an interim show, not a replacement for, but an interim show while we're unable to do our live KRFY morning shows. This has been Julie Calamine and Phil Huff, and we were happy that you were able to join us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you all for coming.